probably read that passage of scripture that talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Well, listen to this verse. This is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, we can't progress in our lives if we're not filled. And what do we need to be filled with? A lot of us are filled with something that we shouldn't be filled with. When we should be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, and this cleansing power that comes over our hearts and our minds to enable us to be people we just can't be on our own. You see, we're all filled with something. What are you full of? All right, God, allow us to understand how important it is to be filled with you. Father, we are a broken people, and we do need to be filled. God, allow our cup to overflow with you. Amen. I have a question, and it's on this first little slide here. In your home, what do you hunger for? In your home, what do you hunger for? Some of you may hunger for more television. Some of you may hunger for more money. Some of you may hunger for a better car. Some of you may hunger for a better relationship. Some of you may hunger for a relationship. Some of you may hunger for your kids to listen to you. Some of you may hunger for your kids to stop crying. Some of you may hunger for sleep and rest. Some of you may have gone through so much stuff that you just can't fathom what may come next. And some of us may wonder why so much stuff happens in our life. But in your home, what do you hunger for? You see, if we're not hungering for God, we are hungering for something. And what is that something? So what doesn't work? There's some things that we know don't work. So what doesn't work? Legalistic Christianity, that doesn't work. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. So legalism is rules. Like, instead of us discovering freedom, what we discover in our journey with God instead is, you got to do this, don't do this. Do that, don't do that. Do this, don't do that, right? And that's legalism. So legalism does not draw us closer to God. Have you ever heard of pastor's kids? Yeah, PKs they're called. And then there's also MKs, missionary kids. Well, one of the things that they're often known for is rebelling, because it's all been about rules and regulations and this and that. That's right, that's not right. You're not doing that right, you're doing that. And there's a lot of pressure. Well, that's something that typically happens. But when it's not about rules and regulations, when it's about relationship and when it's about love, and when it's about passion and compassion for God, what ends up happening is there becomes a shift. There becomes a shift. And we realize that it's not about legalistic Christianity. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. You get that? Then, lukewarm Christianity does not work. It does not work. And Believe in God. Live as if he doesn't exist. All right? Lukewarm is believing in God, but we live like he does not exist. So you've ever wondered, what does that mean when it says, if you're lukewarm, then it's better to be hot or cold, but not to be lukewarm, because then you will be spit out. Blah! You'll be spit out, meaning that it's no good. There's nothing good about being lukewarm. It doesn't do any good for you. It doesn't do any good for anybody else in humanity. So if you are claiming to be a follower of Jesus, we need to live it. It's one thing to say we believe, but I want to tell you straight up, I hope you're ready for this, demons believe and shudder. Did you know that? So don't just call, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe in God. But live like God doesn't exist. Because if we live like God doesn't exist and we claim we believe in him, then what happens is we have adopted a false sense of who God really is. And our lives are now completely manipulated by our sense of who we are. And we have now claimed the throne and we are now God rather than God being God. And once that happens, it wreaks havoc on every relationship that we have. So what does work? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. What does work? Well, there's some things that definitely do work. And we are not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. Those work. When we say we are not just a Christian family, there are a lot of people that claim to be Christians, right? We are a Christian family. I am a Christian. Blah, 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 right? I'm a Christian. I'm a good Christian man. I'm a good Christian woman. I am a great Christian. We need to shut up and we need to start living the life rather than talking about who we are. Because we are nothing except for who Christ is in us. We are people, obviously, and we're humans, and we can continue through this life apart from Christ, which is obviously our choice, and depending on theology, we can get into that later if you want. We are not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. What that means is we haven't just adopted the name Christian and labeled ourselves that. What we do is we actually live, and Christ is the center of everything that we do. Like the decisions we make, the way we go in our life, the direction we take, that is the center of it all. And when Christ is at the center and the forefront, all the other stuff begins to work out. The issue that happens is maybe the family gets caught up in too many things and gets too busy and too much is happening and there's a diversion from the direction that the family is supposed to go. And God wants to take hold and wants to eradicate all the stuff so Christ can be back at the center. And it's a matter of us coming to the place where we realize that we are broken people in great need of a saving God, and we need the foundation, that strong foundation. And if our home doesn't have it, and if we've gone away from the foundation, what ends up happening is that center becomes us. And when the center becomes us, our family becomes a mess. Because it's not about us. It's got to be about God. And when it's about us, it leads to destruction. When Nehemiah was building the wall, he's building the wall, and he's got these people assembled, and they're building the wall, and these people wanted him to come down, and they kept calling him down. Nehemiah, come down. We need you to help us down here. We need to talk to you. No, I'm too busy building the wall. I'm focused on what is at hand. I am focused, and we're building. What they wanted to do, they wanted to kill him. The enemy wants to destroy homes in the United States and all around the world that are Christian homes, that are Christ-centered homes. He wants to wreak havoc. He wants to destroy. He is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. We are a Christ-centered home. Can that be our call out? When people look at our home, do they actually see a Christ-centered home? Or have we just said, we're a Christian home, and then they come into our home, and they get to know us a little better, and they discover they're not Christians at all? Well, there's a passage in Scripture in Psalm 63:1. And some of you may have read Psalm 63:1, and it says this: You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. When was the last time you shouted that out to God? When we shout that out to God, when we're for real and sincere, Lord, I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. God, I long for you. And then we pray it like a family. And this is how we would pray if we're a family. And this is edited toward the family. You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole family longs for you. Let's read this one together. You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole family longs for you. We are a family of believers. This should be our call out. This should be our cry out. In our individual households, this should be our call out. When we cry out this prayer to God, He hears us, right? He hears us. There's this term that's used in this particular part of the text, and it's the word Elohim. And you've likely heard that. But Elohim means creator or judge, the God of creation and judgment. The first name given of God that we find in the Scriptures is Elohim. And it says, in the beginning, Elohim, right? What did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So in the Hebrew, Elohim, God, he created, he is the God of creation and the God that is judging. He judges, he creates, and he judges. But he is also so much more than just Elohim, right? There are so many different names for God. Help your family see God as loving, approachable, and involved. That's what we need to do. We need to help our families see God as loving, approachable, and involved. God is loving, approachable, and involved. He is loving because He cared so much for us that He died for us and rose again to conquer death so we don't have to face eternal death. He is approachable because it says, approach the throne of grace, right? Because His grace is sufficient. That's been poured out for us. His grace is now sufficient for us. And He is involved in our day-to-day. There are some people that believe that God has set us up and then He just left. He just, boom, there, and boom, He's gone. That's not the God that we talk about here on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays and Mondays and Tuesdays and the other times we gather as a community of faith. The God that we serve is a God that is loving, approachable, and involved. Our God is involved in our day-to-day lives. He is a God that is, He understands the things that we go through in our lives. He comforts the brokenhearted. When we wrestle through life issues, He comes alongside. and he grabs us and says, "Here I am. I've been here all along." And when we need to be carried, he picks us up and he carries us through whatever life has for us, because he's loving, he's approachable, and he's involved. He'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, and even if you think he's forsaken you, he has not. I don't know if you heard that. Even if you think he has forsaken you, he has not, and he will not. There's three ways to create hunger for God. There's three ways. There's a lot more, I'm sure, but I broke it down to three. Because three, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I said, all right, let's do three. Three. So here's the three. Three ways to create hunger for God. Involve God in your daily conversations. When you are talking with people each and every day, how often does God come up in your dialogue with other humans? In your household, how often does God come up in your daily conversations? Is God a part of the conversation in your home? Or does God only come up when you sit down and eat food? God, thanks for the food. Bless this greasy, gross food to my body. Amen. Right? No. God needs to be a daily part of our conversation. Because when God is, God can enter into all sorts of conversation. Did you know he knows a lot more about things in life than we do? Even though a lot of times we think we know more than God. God knows a whole lot more than we do. He can dialogue about anything. And he can get into the conversation about anything. So involve God in your daily conversations. When we do it, yeah. It's important to have that daily conversation. Very important. So to have a personal daily conversation with God, that personal connection, and I highly recommend in the morning, waking up, even if it's only 5 minutes before you need to wake up, get up and connect with God deeply and have a conversation with God, that vertical conversation with God, so you will be set right and move forward instead of digress. Involve God in your daily conversations. So if you are in conversation with God, pray continually. So throughout the day, be in a prayer set, prayer-minded, prayer-focused. And then what happens is, as you progress through the day, it is only natural to talk about things that you love, right? People that you love, right? It's natural. It should be a natural overflow. It makes me wonder, do we really love God? We may say we do, but how often throughout the day do we talk about God? Yeah, I love God. When someone asks you from a Christian community, yeah, I love God. Oh yeah, so do I. Okay, let's move on. And then the whole day we never talk about God, except for people that we know, you know, that will talk about God. But you'll talk about your kids, you'll talk about your wife, you'll talk about your family, you'll talk about all sorts of stuff, even your dog, your bird, your cat. Oh, my cat's so funny. It's such a beautiful cat. Oh, our cat's funny. Cats kind of scare me a little bit. I'm cool with dogs, but not so much cats. The last cat experience I really had was, it was a 17-pound cat. And my dog, I think he wanted to eat him. But prior to that, my sister had a crazy cat. And every time, see that girl right there? I held her in my arms. And she couldn't even speak yet. And I'm holding Kelsey. And this cat at my sister's house goes, like that, okay? Wanted to claw both of us, like eat us or something. So she can't even speak. And you know what she does? She goes, right back at the cat. And the cat jumped right off the couch. And I was like, well done, Kelsey. And I was dying laughing. I mean, that girl makes me laugh all the time now. So does Troy. They both make me laugh all the time. And There's another thing that three ways to create hunger for God. So the first is involve God in your daily conversations. The second one is this, and it is to make church non-negotiable. In your household, is church non-negotiable? If church is not non-negotiable, then you already have a huge problem. If your community, if you're not connecting with community on a weekly, daily, and even multiple times through the week, there's already an issue in your home. And that is an issue that needs to be fixed. Church should be non-negotiable. When I say church, I don't mean just the Sunday morning gathering. I mean other times we get together during the week. It's very important. And that Sunday morning time should be a sacred time. Or if you gather Saturday evening, whatever it is. But it should be a sacred time that's non-negotiable. Everybody in the household is going to connect in the community of faith because that is a priority. My children have had multiple opportunities to play various sports on Sunday mornings, and it is very difficult to say no because I know that those teams are the most competitive that meet on Sunday mornings. And at times I can be kind of competitive, and my kids can be pretty competitive too. And they want to have the best competition, and I want them to have it. But at the same time, guess what? That's right. It's a non-negotiable for us. And a lot of times, the beach looks like a lot better place to be than in the community of faith. Going skiing, maybe. But what? Is it okay to go on vacation? Yeah. But what I'm trying to communicate here is don't neglect the importance of showing your family how vital it is to be a part of a community of faith. Three ways to create hunger for God. Involve God in your daily conversations. Make church non-negotiable. And the third one is show how seeking and serving God is fun. You weren't ready for that one, were you? Seeking and serving God is fun. It is. It can be hard, but it is fun. Humor should be a part of our community of faith. Laughter and joy should be an amazing part of the community of faith and should be a part of our family as well. So show how seeking God and serving God is fun. If you've never been on a missions trip, I highly recommend that you and your family take a family missions trip and go and serve people together. It may be hard, it may be challenging, it may be difficult, but I want to tell you straight up, that when you serve God together, go to a soup kitchen. We got to start doing this as a community of faith, but we need to start implementing this in our households, because when we do, what ends up happening is we begin to be shaped by our family experiences, whether they be good or bad. But when we go and we serve together, beauty comes from that. Great joy comes from that. We get so caught up and so busy that frequently we lose sight of these three things. If you think you've got to be stoic to be following God, wake up! It can be incredibly fun and joy-filled. Show how seeking God and serving God is fun. That's what we've got to do in our homes. And this last verse here comes from Joshua 24:15. And I'm sure probably everybody in here knows this particular verse. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, Lord there is Jehovah. And it's the proper or the formal name of God. So, we had Elohim. Now we've got this proper formal name. Meaning that This is the Lord of Lords, the Lord before gods. This is the God of gods. This is the one that I'm going to serve. He's not the little g, he's the big G. He's not the God that is here and then gone and then here and then gone. He's the God that's always here, will never leave, and he's always moving. He's always at work, and he's always moving in people's hearts and in people's minds, and he's always allowing for a move of God every day and every time that we've surrendered to him. So then let's read this together. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There's no compromise there. Whatever it takes, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Despite all the junk and debris, we will serve the Lord. Despite all the past garbage, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
No, I said if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You see, God wants us to be a community of faith that serves one another, but the first and the top priority should be to serve our home. And if you are a man and you're not stepping up as a spiritual leader of your home, wake up to the reality. We need to lead well, and we need to lead strong. Let's pray. Father, as this music begins to play, God, Father, there's so much that's, I'm sure, on all of our hearts and all of our minds. God, I ask that you cleanse our hearts and minds and allow your purity to overflow. Allow your spirit to move powerfully through us right now, God. Lord, your spirit desires to cleanse us. And Father, many of us have had a difficult road in this life. But God, even with the bumps and the potholes, the peaks and the valleys, and all the other junk that comes our way, God, may we exalt you. May we follow you. May our hearts be open to what you have. Allow us to be open right now, God. Some of us have fallen asleep and have died. We've died to the reality of you being God. We've died to the hope that there is true hope. We've died to following you, God. Father, I ask today that we won't just use our lips as lip service to you, that we won't just pretend to be followers of you, but God, we will truly submit to your will in our lives. And may our hearts be ones that are truly open to you and surrendered to you. And Father, as we stand and sing this song, God, Father, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. In the name of Jesus, amen.